Well, Stephen Sondheim once wrote that anyone can whistle, but it's not necessarily true. Some people whistle a little better than others. Or, to put it a different way, we've all heard of Whistler's mother, but here today in the studio on Dave's Gone By, I have the Whistler himself, Steve the Whistler Herbst. Welcome to WGBB.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Thank you so much. And, well, that is what you do. It's not the only thing you do, but it really is your sideline career of making a musical instrument out of whistling. So, before anything else, just how did that come about?
Well, Dave, my dad was a good whistler, as well as being a singer and an instrumentalist. As a kid, I used to listen to him, and I got inspired to see if I couldn't emulate or do that. And
what instrument did he play?
Oh, he played piano, organ, recorder, ukulele, off the top of my head.
And did he teach you any, or did you take lessons in any of those instruments?
No. No, I never I never took any music lessons.
Okay.
I took drums for about a month in grade school and gave it up.
Gotcha.
But I started singing as a little boy, and actually by age five I was serenading a neighbor lady who used to, she used to lean out the window of her garden apartment, and I used to stand on the lawn in front of her house, and I'd sing something for her, and then she'd invite me up to pick a toy out of her grown son's toy chest, and I considered that my first paid gig.
Excellent. But how did, okay, so you're singing, and at what point did people start saying, you know, you sing really well, but you do something else that's, like, unusual and
well,
good.
The odd thing, and I really wasn't thinking about it or really particularly aware of it at the time, but as a small boy, and as I started whistling around seven, I was really doing it for my own pleasure. Everywhere I walked, I would whistle. And if you would interview Whistler's mother, my mother, now, she'd tell you that she wasn't even aware of my being a whistler until I was an adult. By age 10, I was whistling Peter and the Wolf everywhere I went, which is Prokofiev, and I used that to develop range and different, you know, tonalities. By the time I got into college, that's when I started whistling in concerts. So that's when people really became aware of it. Prior to that, I'd get together with a friend who was a jazz pianist, and we'd go into a rehearsal room, and he'd sit down at the keyboard, and I would, you know, do improv with him, and that was just like between the two of us, you know, just for our own fun. But in college, I started whistling in concert in front of audiences.
What do you think makes you different from the average person who puts his lips together and blows? In other words, I can go like, but what is the technique? What is the special thing that you do that makes your whistling on, I guess, the professional level?
Well, first of all, I have a 3-octave range, and I can simulate different kinds of instruments, such as flutes.
Oh, all right, now, you've got to do that now. Okay, so let's say flute.
Okay, I'll take it even maybe a step better. I had occasion in college to simulate a Japanese reed flute hitting high E-flat with a grace note, sans vibrato, for Emperor Hirohito's son, Prince Mikasa, who was visiting the United States, and this was out at the Paley House, out on the main line, and I was accompanying the University of Pennsylvania Glee Club, of which I was a singing member, and there were wooden claves banging, and so it kind of went something like this. I'm not sure that I can guarantee you that this particular one is high E-flat,
right?
Because I don't have something to go by. But it went something like this.
It's kind of like an SOS signal almost. It's amazing. I have to ask the question as a sidetrack. What is a glee club?
Well, a glee club is generally a group of men who sing, and I was a 4-year member and bass section leader with the University of Pennsylvania Glee Club, and I'm currently a member of the University Glee Club of New York City. We have about 150 men.
It's like an alumni thing? Or?
Well, it's not an alumni thing. Actually, we have something like 80 or more, maybe 90 colleges or universities represented. So for the most part, not necessarily, were men who sang in a college chorus or glee club and wanted to keep doing it.
Gleefully, basically. It's very cool.
Gleefully, yes.
But,
okay.
All right, but you said flute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hold you to something else. I mean, what other instrument can you sort of...
Well, here's a recorder, you know, which is the wooden...
I played it all through elementary school. Okay. I know it well.
This is this was something that I did also with the Penn Glee Club, and it was to simulate a kind of an American Indian, Native American kind of a sound coming out of the woods.
Cool. It has that lower, woodier tone. I remember that sound well from being like second, third, and fourth grade with like, you know, 50 other Hebrew school students trying
and you should
do
hear that. You should have that piece with a tom-tom.
It doesn't really sound...
Because well, we had a tom-tom going with that one.
Cool. Well, that wouldn't be a Glee Club. That would be a tom-tom club. But that would be a different band entirely.
Hmm.
Ha! Thank you very much. What we're going to do before we get back to talking to you, because this is really cool, is... not a track from your CD, which, by the way, is called Broadway and Beyond, CD by Steve the Whistler Herbst, International Whistling Champion. Well, first of all, the CD has a bunch of Broadway kinds of tracks on it, including a medley from West Side Story, Memory from Cats, of course. We opened the segment with I Could Have Danced All Night, My Fair Lady classic. This Nearly Was Mine, beautiful song from South Pacific. Lovely CD that is available from Mr. Herbst's website, www.stevethewhistler.com. Steve the Whistler. All one word. Thank you. .com. But the next track is not on it. Something a little kicky, a little lively, non-Broadway-ish, a little wonderful, wonder-full, Sir Duke. Steve the Whistler Herbst live in the studio. He had the backing track pre-recorded and whistling to Stevie Wonder's Sir Duke. Very cool stuff. So the kinds of songs that you do range from Broadway to pop, and do you go far afield into classical and stuff like that?
Well, for 2 years running, I hold the title of first in the world in classical whistling.
In what competition is this?
Well, the international competition on this past April was the 29th annual. Is held in Lewisburg, North Carolina, the third weekend in April. And next year will be the 30th, so that's a big deal. If you're competing for Grand Champion, you have to compete in two rounds of classical and popular whistling. So in the preliminary round, in classical, I did Clair de Lune by Debussy.
Beautiful, yeah.
And in the final round, I did the Hungarian Rhapsody No. 2 by Liszt.
Oh.
And in the popular round, I did Holiday for Strings by David Rose.
Okay.
And Danny Boy. And so this year, I took first in classical, second year in a row I did that, and I took second place in popular, but first place overall international grand champion.
Mazel, mazel. And tell what the Irish Echo wrote about you, the newspaper.
The Irish Echo reviewed my CD, Broadway and Beyond, and very, very flattered and very pleased to see that they said Herbst is to whistling as James Galway is to the flute. I consider that high praise indeed.
That's pretty neat. Now, I mentioned also the Zamfir comparison, like on the panpipes, where you take the melody, but you literally turn your personal whistling into an instrument, a wind instrument. It's just your own wind.
Well, Dave, actually, you know, the question you asked me before about what makes what I do differently, what makes what I do different from other whistlers,
yeah.
The guy on the street, whatever, and I mentioned the 3-octave range, but, you know, the other thing is that I think most people when they whistle are just, you know, whistling to whistle. When I whistle, I'm looking to simulate an instrument or replace an instrument as opposed to, just sounding as though I'm whistling. Also, another thing your listeners might find interesting is there are two major differences in whistling styles. One is bird whistling, and the other is instrumental whistling. And so bird whistlers try to sound like birds doing a song, and they embellish it with a lot of warbling and a
right.
lot of trills. On the other hand, an instrumental whistler, which is what I am,
right.
looks to not sound like a bird, but sound like an instrument, sound like a flute, sound like a trumpet, sound like a clarinet, or whatever, or violin.
Wow. Does your physical condition affect either the tone or your ability to do a certain thing on the day? Like, are you affected by if your sinuses are acting up, if you have cold sores or canker sores or a toothache or a sore throat? Does any of that affect?
Well, physical condition is important. I mean, first of all, there's a question of stamina. There's the question of lung power, you know, breath control, breath power. And as an aside, you might also find it interesting compared to, you know, the other question we keep coming back to.
Sure.
A competitive whistler has to be able to whistle in as well as whistling out. You know, it may not,
yeah, otherwise no breath after 15 seconds.
It may not be as powerful or as pure a sound, but it also is something that keeps the music going. And so, for instance, on the Sir Duke, you might not even have noticed it, but I was also whistling in as well as whistling out to keep it going.
Right.
Getting back to the question about physical conditioning, well, sure, if your lips are chapped, that's not going to work. The mucous membranes in the mouth and the lips and the tongue, you know, will have to be kept moist. So you've noticed I'm consuming, you know,
water, and you had
water.
The lip balm before that you were trying. Right. You were also doing some exercises.
Well, I was relaxing my face, the muscles in my face, because they get a workout.
Right, of course.
So that's, you know, that's all, you know, part of it. You know, obviously, if you're too tired or something, you know, that's not going to help a whole lot either.
Well, speaking of a workout and speaking of breath control, I'm going to test you out here with something that you practiced a little bit, but really this is not one of the things that you normally do. We just wanted to give you a little test here and see if your chops are up to those of Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. A little Led Zeppelin for you here, if you can whistle along for a bit.
We'll give it a try.
And our free whistling bird here is Steve the Whistler Herbst. www.stevethewhistler.com is Herbst. I have to do that sibilant H. All those years I had to learn to pronounce edible herbs without the H. This man comes in here and I've got to remember to hit the H hard. Anyway, speaking once more of birds, ooh, we're in WGBB Freeport with Steve Herbst. Sorry about that. Anyway, mentioned birds before, but you were telling me something really interesting. You have a bird, and I forget the name, but also something interesting about training birds. Steve.
I'm not hearing anything here.
Oh, don't worry about it. Just keep going. Well,
now we're back.
You're back. We're back.
We're back, folks. About my parrot, Verdi.
Verdi, yeah.
Verdi, yes. We have a Solomon Island eclectus named Verdi, and he's been doing a great job learning to talk, and he knows a little whistling. But what I was telling you before was that I had been warned that if you try to teach a parrot to whistle first,
mm-hmm.
which is easy for them to do, they may not learn to talk. So I've had to kind of restrain myself a little bit, but I do whistle to him every day.
Excellent. And you talk to him and you teach him singing, I assume, or?
Actually, I don't really get into singing with him. I whistle to him or with him or at him, however you want to look at it, often in the shower in the morning.
Excellent. Well, again, want to just, before I forget, also, not only do you have the CD Broadway and Beyond available from your website, stevethewhistler.com, but you're appearing in a couple of places, including the Kennedy Center.
Yes, next month I'm going to be part of the holiday concert series. There are two concerts on the Millennium Stage at the Kennedy Center, and if anyone's interested in seeing that, they can actually view it with streaming video on the Internet. That's Kennedy-Center.org,
mm-hmm.
and it will actually be permanently archived. So
you can go to the website whenever.
Go whenever. It'll be live December 14th and 15th between 6 and 7 p.m. and available thereafter, in perpetuity.
Terrific. And are you working on any other whistling-related projects at the moment?
Well, I've got some, things that I'm working on. Some things that are kind of in the early talking stages. Maybe doing some good causes in the city, particularly around the holidays. I'm going to be performing in Fort Lauderdale in January.
Good place to be in January.
It gives me a chance to visit Whistler's mother.
Oh, that's the third time we've used that joke in one segment. That's just way too many. And for your penance, you're going to have to whistle one more song. Again, this song is on Steve's CD, Broadway and Beyond, but he has just the backing track here. He's going to do it live for us, and we're going to close out with the beautiful Bernstein-Sondheim song, Maria, from West Side Story. And here it is. Thank you, Steve. We're too far into it. Can we re-cue that one while we're doing it? And I just want to thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks, man. And good luck.
Thank you very much.